Hey guys, I have a very special treat for you today. I have a man named Jason Lane on the phone with me that I'm going to be talking to about escalation. He says that he is an expert on knowing and understanding how to get physical with a woman. And I have not really covered this topic very much for you, so I wanted to have him on our call today because I think that he can definitely share a lot of wonderful information for you. So Jason, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Marnie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be this expert on getting physical with women?
Okay, sure. Well, before I became, you know, a quote unquote expert at getting physical, and that just what that really means is that I just do it successfully and I don't really have a lot of the problems that guys have anymore because I've learned a lot of little tricks to get around that.
Okay.
But I started in this whole world of success with women, quote unquote, back in my early 20s. And I had a story, I had something happen to me similar to what happened in the movie Hitch with Will Smith.
Okay.
And that I had a woman that I was absolutely in love with. I mean, she was my ideal woman, just amazing. I was so mesmerized by her and I just wanted to spend time with her and just be with her and marry her. And I noticed that she started slipping away and that had never happened to me before. And so being raised by my mother, essentially, I figured, well, I'll just show her that I love her even more and I'll cling tighter.
Sorry, you heard me cringe there for a second. Okay. So
Yeah. So anyone who's studied dating for any amount of time knows that that is the worst thing you can do. And she ended up dumping me on my 18th birthday and leaving me heartbroken. And that really set me on this path where I decided I wanted to just never had that happen to me again. I mean, I've certainly been dumped before and after that, but I didn't want to be that needy guy that got his heart broken and couldn't do anything about it. I mean, it was shocking to me that really, really, really wanting something wouldn't make it stay in my life. You know, I thought right. If I just showed her how much I wanted her and how much I cared about her, that she would just want me as much as I wanted her. And that wasn't the case.
Well, can I ask you a question on that?
Sure.
How did that neediness feel and where do you think that neediness came from?
You know, I don't know where it came from, but I remember how it felt. It felt like I was out of control, like things were happening outside of my ability to control and I felt helpless.
Okay.
I think that's how a lot of guys feel.
Definitely.
You know, I certainly felt that way. I wanted to be able to keep this woman that I loved, or in the case of, you know, a single guy, I wanted to attract a woman and I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't make it happen. And it just felt unfair, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I can tell you as a woman, I've experienced that on my side from both actually having men be extremely needy towards me and then me being very needy towards them. And it's true. It is like you are completely out of control. You do things that you wouldn't normally do and you justify things in your head and justify actions that you wouldn't normally do because you think that it will better your situation when ultimately it actually ends up hurting your situation.
Well, you know, it's true. Like, and to be honest, a lot of what I was taught to do was reinforced by the things I saw growing up. And I'll give you a sappy example that a lot of people have seen. You know, look at a movie like The Notebook or something similar to that, where a guy wants a woman and she's not really interested in him. She's got her attention fixated on him, but she's not going to, you know, let him get her that easy. And so he just keeps trying and he keeps doing greater and greater things to show how much he loves her and how much he's interested in her. And that's what a guy thinks he has to do in order to win a woman over.
Right.
And that's not the case in the real world.
Well, I might disagree with you on that one because, first of all, The Notebook is my favorite film of all time, as it is with most females. But there is like a middle ground to that behavior. I think if you are exactly how you described before as a needy, sappy guy doing those actions who really has no respect for himself, those actions won't work for you if you start showing your love for a woman because ultimately the woman will realize it's not about her and it's about getting what you want and it really isn't about a strong connection. Whereas in The Notebook, again, I know that they're actors, the way that Ryan Gosling composed himself where he was very into her. But for me, it still seemed like he respected himself, but was willing to put it out there that he wanted something and that he was going to get it. And so that for me is a huge difference. That I, so I don't want to let people know that you can't go after what you want.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good distinction. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that if a guy doesn't already have what that actor had and that, or that, that person had in the movie,
exactly,
then those things that he did won't work. I mean, if you take what Will Smith was like in the beginning of Hitch and have him take those actions that the guy in The Notebook took, it wouldn't have worked.
Oh, 100%.
Because he was a needy guy. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's kind of where I was coming from. I didn't have that those natural attractive characteristics. I had to work at it. And, you know, part of my education was going to school for massage therapy for 2 years. And I learned all about, you know, how to touch someone, how to not touch someone,
yeah,
how to set, you know, boundaries professionally, but also how to use those techniques in dating situations. And I really figured out some ways that, that guys can use right away to get better results.
Okay. Well, share with us. I think that's fantastic.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, let me. Okay, so this is the thing. So you went to school for massage therapy, which is something that teaches you in its life experience to be okay with touch, to have a confidence with touch, which I think is something that's so important because a lot of people fear that they don't know how to touch someone properly. And I have been with a lot of guys who don't touch properly, who are either too aggressive, they're too grabby, and I really do think that that experience of being a massage therapist and having the experience of over and over and over again experimenting with touch is a phenomenal one that will definitely be able to help any guy in the future.
I agree with you. And I'll give you a crude example here.
Yeah.
A lot of guys remember the old Andrew Dice Clay bit when he was on stage. And this was a very memorable moment. He walked up to a couple that was sitting in the front row and he said, "Hey, is that your girlfriend right there?" The guy said, "Yeah." He goes, "Does she give good blowjobs?" And she, and the guy goes, "Yeah, she does actually." And then he asks the question that everybody remembered, which is, "Let me ask you something. How do you think she got to be that way?" And the whole audience burst out laughing, but there's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
In my experience, a woman, and you know, this is true for both men and women, but since we're talking to single men here,
yeah,
a woman wants a guy who already knows what he's doing, who already gets it. You know, she wants to feel like she's on a ride that, you know, she's going to enjoy, like she's going to Disneyland, but she also wants to feel like things are happening naturally. You know, in my experience, no woman wants to be aware of the seduction process or that she's being seduced. And so as the man, you know, if you're the man listening to this, it's your job to lead the physical escalation all the way from the beginning, all, you know, up to sex, and do it smoothly so that it just feels natural. Okay. That is your job. You are the ride. You're Disneyland.
100%. Well, actually go a level deeper on that because I want to talk about men actually leading for escalation. Like to describe that a little bit more. What does that mean?
Well, you know, a lot of guys think that, you know, is this something that I should really study? You know, is this, do I really need to learn how to make out with somebody to get physical, to touch somebody? You know, shouldn't I just be spontaneous? And the answer is yes and no. Yes, you want, you know, you want to be spontaneous, but here's the deal. You want to be spontaneous in the same way that a dancer is spontaneous. A dancer can only be spontaneous and look good to the audience after he or she has rehearsed the techniques over and over again to the point where they're internalized.
Exactly.
And if you're not a dancer, and I realize a lot of guys, you know, listening to this probably aren't, let's think of a more practical example. Let's take driving. Most people, after they've been driving for a few years, don't think about, you know, pressing the clutch and the gas at the same time, or, you know, putting your hands on the 10 o'clock and the 2 o'clock position. You know, you don't think about all those little nuances of driving. You just drive and you take yourself from point A to point B. It's also similar to typing. Okay. Most of us know how to type, but I doubt if you're listening to this, you probably don't think about putting your fingers on the home row when you put your fingers on the keyboard. You just use typing to express yourself. Well, the same applies to getting physical. You have to internalize really effective techniques, and then you can be spontaneous with how you express them, and it'll just feel natural. It'll feel effortless.
And it's easier to be a leader as well when you feel confident in your experience with any skill, whether it is making out, having sex, typing, driving, dancing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You're on auto drive, basically. And so when you do get to that place and position – in your mind where you're confident enough that to be on auto drive, it's, you put out a completely different energy to women and to the rest of the world. So for example, like I've been with many guys where there's been a situation where I'm waiting for so long for this guy to kiss me. Like, it's obviously that I am available to be kissed. And then when it really happens, because it's taken so long, you can tell that he's, like, debating this move of kissing me. It's not as fun anymore. It's like that, because I already decided I wanted to kiss somebody. And then 15 minutes later, it's like, okay, well, I've like, beat you into kissing me. And it's not as satisfying. But if there is a man that I'm with who lets me feel feminine, takes on the masculine role, and leads me towards something sexual, oh, that is the biggest turn on in the entire world. And any experience I have after that moment will be enhanced by 50 to 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you know it from the other side as well. Like, same thing with a woman who knows what she's doing and feels like a leader sexually. You know, sometimes that's nice for men to be around as well. It feels absolutely amazing, and you get to enjoy the sexual experience a lot more because you don't feel like you're fumbling or that you're second guessing every action, so that you're not in your head.
Well, you made a good point. And you know, for the person listening to this, I just want to be clear about something. You know, I may talk about this later. I actually don't kiss a woman on a first date, but there's a big difference between not kissing someone because you're choosing not to and you're focusing on anticipation and making that moment much more memorable, versus, oh my God, I don't know how to kiss this woman. Should I kiss her now? You know, does she want to kiss me? Is my breath okay? You know,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So tell me, a little bit more about the massage therapy and how those, or what kind of moves do you use from what you've learned to actually touch a woman or be physical with a woman?
Sure. I can give you a couple pointers from massage that I learned from massage therapy.
Yeah.
The first one is that this is easier to demonstrate visually, but there are basically three kinds of touch, and each kind of touch will inspire different emotions in a person. So the first one is like a caressing kind of touch where you're just using your fingertips and you're gently gliding over the skin. And that has a person feel loved and cared for and just very gooey. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It produces that kind of state. And then there is a slow, deep massaging kind of touch, which makes a person feel safe and cared for and protected. And those are the two that you kind of want to alternate back and forth between. Now, there is a third kind of touch, but I don't recommend it for people who are, you know, relatively inexperienced with women. And that is, it's a sharp, jolting kind of touch. So imagine if she's, you know, standing in front of you and you're about to kiss and she's maybe about, I don't know, 9 or 10 inches away from you. And you put your hand on her lower back and then you suddenly, you pull her into you, like you're thrusting your hips into her while you pull her into you at the same time. If you can do that right, it creates excitement. But if you do it wrong, it can create fear and make her worry about her safety.
Oh, gosh. So yes. I can say that as a woman, it would definitely do that to me.
Yeah, that's really an advanced move. I mean, I know one of my colleagues, his name is Dan Rose, and he wrote a book called The Sex God Method. One of his favorite things to do is to make out with a woman in front of a door that's only slightly open. Maybe it's a couple inches open. And then you kind of take her arms and, you know, pin them over her head against the door. And then you push her against the door really fast. And the door slams really loudly. And the combination of that fast movement and the loud noise is very, very exciting. But you got to be an advanced student to do that. So I would focus on the first two, which is going back and forth between caressing and massaging. Now, there's also, you know, with that in mind, there's also three different textures for touching. There's your fingertip. These are the pads of your fingers, okay? The finger pads. Then there's the fingertips. Okay, that's where your fingernails are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the back of your fingernails. Like if you were to curl your finger, your hand like you were making a hook or something.
Yeah.
And then you would caress backwards, like the back of your fingernail. So that's like a smooth, glassy kind of texture. And if you can vary those three textures and then combine that with the two different kinds of touch, the caressing and the massaging, now you've got all these varieties of touch that makes your touch much more interesting. Now your brain's probably, someone listening to this, without seeing it, your brain's probably like, this is too much information. Don't worry, you can go back and listen to it again. Just remember, go between caressing and massaging, and then focus on texturizing your touch by using the pads of your fingers, your fingernails, and the back of your fingernails. That'll make everything you do much more interesting.
Well, that actually leads me to my next question. So how, if somebody's not a massage therapist, how do they practice these skills? Like, how do you, like, I have my ideas of how a man can go out and practice these skills before using it on the woman that he wants to use it on. But how, what do you tell people to do?
Well, the skill of touching can be practiced on yourself. Like, you can massage your own forearm, for example, and just see what it feels like to use the three different touch textures mixed with the types of touch, you know, the caressing and the massaging. If you have nobody to practice with, you know, you could always ask one of your friends to practice with you, or you can take a massage class. Yeah. Or you could barter with people, say, hey, I want to practice massaging. You know, how about I work on you, you work on me. I mean, obviously not everyone's going to go and drop 10 or 15 grand on massage school,
yeah.
but you absolutely can contact your local adult education place. And almost every one of them has some kind of massage class that, exactly. You know, will allow you to practice.
Or even going on Craigslist, there's some way that you can find some sort of local massage class as well. But even like for wing girls, I think that you can try and find a wing girl. If you happen to have female friends, you can ask them how this feels and practice one of the techniques that Jason explained, saying, does this feel good? Does this feel good? Does this feel better? It's really, this is like a research time. This is what I always tell people, that learning to be sexual, learning to be socially confident with women is a skill, just like it is a skill to be a brain surgeon or an IT professional, one that you have to go through research and practice and, you know, sometimes a huge headache to go through that learning process, but then ultimately end up on the opposite side as an expert in a skill. So for me, I tell people to use everything that's around them. Like, I'm not afraid to ask people questions. I will sometimes, when I'm trying to learn a certain skill, I will ask strangers on the bus. I will ask anybody that's around me that is open to helping me learn my new skill.
Hey.
Anybody, don't feel like you're doing something improper. Just see, everything that you're doing is research, and no matter what, people will enjoy being part of your learning process.
Got it.
That, you know, that's what I always say for any skill that they're learning. Like, I tell my clients to go up to women on the street and just say, do I appear to be a confident male to you? How's my body language reading to you? And people, women especially, are very, very open and honest and helpful. If you let them know that you're trying to learn something to better yourself, they will be blunt and honest with you and very, very helpful. So I think the recommendation you gave of reaching out to others around you is fantastic.
Excellent. Well, I hope they do it.
Yeah, so do I. Well, let's go back to the no kissing rule on the first date that you have.
Okay, sure. Let me see here. How can I explain this? One of the big mistakes that a guy makes, you know, on a date is trying to grasp for everything he can possibly get. You know, imagine somebody who's really hungry and hasn't eaten in a while, and then you put food in front of them. They're going to try and eat as much and as fast as possible because they don't know if there's going to be food, you know, a few hours later or the next day or even the next week. Well, a lot of guys operate the same way when it comes to women. You know, I think Lance Mason, the guy from Pickup 101, said that when you first walk up to a woman or you meet her for the first time or you email her for the first time, whatever, the first question that her subconscious mind is going to be asking is this the kind of guy who dates women like me? And mm-hmm. that's kind of her, what she's always listening for is that, are you the kind of guy who dates women like me? And if you are trying to make out with her and, you know, you're getting physical with her, but in a grasping kind of way, because you're trying to take what you can get, then you're clearly not the kind of man who regularly makes out with women like her, because you wouldn't need to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, no, you're getting back to the needy thing that you were talking about, where you forget about the woman that you're with and just focus on these irrational emotions that you're having.
Right. Now, as far as the not kissing thing, the reason I do that is because I want to convey this message to her, which is simply, I could, but I'm not going to yet. Okay. I'm not going to yet means I intend to in the future, but I'm not going to do it right now. And this actually goes back to how I learned to love Indian food, believe it or not. my first experience of Indian food was not good. You know, one of my girlfriends from, probably 10 years ago, took me to this place and the food was awful. And I just never went and ate Indian food again. Well, one day I was out at a fair and this Indian restaurant had this stand and you could smell the food from hundreds of yards away. I mean, it smelled so amazing. And I walked over and they were giving away free samples. So first I smelled it, and I got that I liked the smell. Then I got to taste it a little bit for free and then realized that I actually liked the way it tasted. And then I actually went and ordered some of the food. Sure. So the way this works with kissing is she doesn't know if she wants to kiss you or make out with you yet. And the thing you got to remember is that kissing is not the first move. I know that guys are trained to believe that kissing is first base and touching the boobs is second base and, so on and so on. But the first kiss is not the first step of escalation. You start way before that. Okay, you got to start with the way you touch her, the way that you greet her. Do you give her a hug or do you give her like this lame, cold handshake? Okay, do you kiss her hand, like the top of her hand? Very few guys do that. So I do all these little things leading up to the kiss, and then I stop just before it's time to give her a kiss. I mean, I'll go as far as to kiss her on her neck, maybe kiss her closer to her ear, and then I'll be right in front of her lips. And I'll say, you know what? You're so cute. Come on, let's get going. And we'll just keep walking if we're on a walking date or something. Yeah. I'm demonstrating that I have control. And then without exception, when the second date comes, she trusts me. She has no problem coming over to my house because I've demonstrated that I don't need to take whatever I can get from her. And so she can relax and trust that I'm not going to try and take advantage of her. And almost every time my dates usually want to have sex on that second date. And no, I don't usually do that, but I'm just saying they want to because they've come to trust that I don't need to grasp at them.
Yeah. And I actually, I completely endorse that. That would work.
Think about if you were sitting in a car, next to somebody, like let's say you, Marnie, you're sitting in a passenger seat of a car and the driver who happens to be your date reaches over and he touches your leg. He starts rubbing his hand back and forth on your leg. I think you'd be able to tell if he's doing it because, you're stuck in the car with him and he wants to try and see what he can get from you versus he just wants to give you pleasure and make you feel good and he doesn't need anything from you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's two very different ways of touching.
Oh, 100%. And again, that comes with practice, experience, and comfort and confidence. And that's where comfort and confidence come from. It's from doing something over and over again, practicing, experiencing it, and then it becomes second nature to you. So what's something that you can tell my users right now? Like maybe one big mistake that they're making and one thing that they can quickly do to learn for themselves, to start learning how to be more physical with women.
Sure. I could actually give you a little bit more than that. I can give you some simple mistakes that guys make almost every time. The first one, and I'm sure this will resonate true with you, is they wait for the green light before they make a move. Now, guys, listen. You are expected to be the leader of the date. Okay? You're the man. It's your job to lead. And that doesn't mean that it's okay to just do what you want without regard for her wishes. It just means that it's your job to initiate physical contact. She is waiting for you to go first. And this starts right from the moment you first meet her. Now, if this is a woman that you met online, for example, when you walk into the coffee shop or wherever you're going on your first date, you give her a warm hug and then you can put your hands on her shoulders, look her in the eyes and say, it's so great that we got to meet in person. I'm really happy to be here with you. You're saying it not in a needy way or trying to get her to like you. It just conveys that you're physically confident. If you're willing to, put your hands on the side of her shoulders and say that to her only, 6 inches away from her face. Mm-hmm. Another mistake, I already talked about this, is trying to take as much as you can get. So you want to make sure you keep that in mind. And then a last simple mistake that guys make later on in the interaction is they don't control. By the way, this is for when you have a woman back at your place and it's seduction time.
Yeah.
they don't remember to control light and temperature.
Yeah.
If the light is too bright, she's not going to want to get undressed because a lot of women feel insecure about the way they look and they want to look good to you. If it's really, really, really dark in the room, she may say, wow, it's really dark in here. Can we turn a light on?
Exactly.
And that kind of kills the mood. So you want to have some kind of medium lighting. Same thing with temperature. Some guys actually think that if they turn the temperature up really high and make it really hot, that she'll want to take her clothes off so that she can feel more comfortable. No. She's going to say, wow, it's really hot in here. Can you open up a window or can we go sit in the living room or something?
Exactly. This is the thing. What you're describing right now is just creating experiences. And whether you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, you're going to date them, or you're going to have a one-night stand with them, at least give them an experience. Give them something interesting to remember and to be part of so that they don't feel like a used, disgusting person the next day. That's basically it. It's like you want to be able to provide women with experiences and also yourself with an amazing experience. And the more that you practice your touch, you work on the lighting that's around you, you work on the temperature of the room, it's creating an experience that you can opt into, she can opt into, and both of you can enjoy. Whether or not it's for long term or, again, for a one-night stand, it's still something that you can remember.
That's so funny that you said opt-in. You're such a marketer.
Yeah, sorry. No, that's like a big thing right now. Opt-in. I know, but I've been using that term so much. But it's true. It's like you're opting in. You are choosing the option to go forward with something. And
yeah.
I think whether it's marketing, I know I am horrible with that. But yeah, like it's just for me. I've been in the experience where I've made out with people and in like gross places where I haven't felt my best, and it stops me from being as sexual as I can possibly be and possibly ruins the experience or at least takes away from it. I think that if there is some seduction going on and there is something sexual and exciting about the experience, I think no matter what, I would be happy at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, and speaking of creating the experience, the technique I can offer you guys for helping to create the experience and make it much more smooth and natural is something I learned from a judo fighter, of all people. He taught me this thing called position before submission. And all that means is that when you're grappling, you know, when you're in a fight, you want, before you go for the choke, before you go for the arm bar, you want to make sure that you're in a good position where you can execute that move. Otherwise, they're going to slip out. Exactly. And your submission is not going to work. So it's all about position first. Exactly. Now, here's how this applies to getting all naked. And I'm sure you must have experienced this sometime in your life, Marnie. You guys, you remember a time when you're laying on a bed with a woman and it comes time to take off her top and she's laying down on the bed. Well, what do you have to do? You have to sort of lift her up, reach around her back, undo the bra while she's sort of holding herself up, or she's, you know, holding on to you. The whole process is very awkward.
Yeah.
Okay. She has to get up from where she was, you know, where she was, which is nice and comfortable. That's not the optimal way to take a woman's top off. It's not a good position. A much better position would be, as you're making out, you sort of lay down, you know, on the side of her and you say, hey, come here. And then you pull her on top of you. And now that she's on top of you, you don't just take the shirt off. What you do is you reach up behind, you know, around her back, unhook her bra first, and then slide the whole package off. And then the shirt and the bra will just come right off and it'll be smooth and effortless. You'll get a lot less. Yeah. You get a lot less resistance and it'll just happen. I remember one woman said to me, this was like 10 years ago. She's like, oh my, I'm naked. I just realized I'm naked.
Yeah.
How did you get my clothes?
How did this happen? That's the whole point. As soon as it becomes awkward or uncomfortable, then you come back to reality, right? And not to say that any of this is manipulation in any way, because both people, again, are opting into the experience. But you don't want to take away from it. And again, I do want to add a disclaimer here, basically saying that these aren't manipulative tactics that we're talking about right now. This is just a way for you to feel more comfortable sexually. And it's to enhance the experience that you will already be having. It's just giving you that confidence to get into a situation where you can make these things happen. So again, they're not manipulative tactics. They're not some routine that you can do with women. They're just to help boost your confidence.
Right. I mean, think of this as more of like a best practices.
Exactly.
You know, there's an optimal way to do everything. There's an optimal way for you to drive from your apartment or house to the grocery store. And then there are ways that take a lot longer and are much more difficult. You know, you know that if you go down Main Street, you're going to get stuck in traffic. So exactly. you go a different way that works a lot better.
Exactly.
There's nothing manipulative or dishonest about pulling a woman on top of you and taking her top off that way versus doing it the difficult way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now here's the challenge, and it's that as the man, when you do this for the first, 50 times, you're going to be thinking about it. And because you're thinking about it, you may feel like you're doing something wrong. But eventually, you're not going to think about it anymore, and you'll just do it naturally, the same way you do whatever you do when you take a woman's top off now.
Exactly.
You need to internalize this the same way you internalize driving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And basically make your own method. So it doesn't have to be verbatim what Jason and I are talking about right now. You might find there might be some other spin that you want to add to it once, you know, you're very comfortable with asking a woman to sit on top of you and take her bra off. You might find that there's something else that you enjoy and you like to do with a woman that's completely your own. So again, I'm so wary of this now because a lot of my users get so stuck on routines that people give them that they forget that it's their choice to venture out and find out what works for them. These are just tactics that we're providing for you to learn from and then enhance them.
Right. And you know, just as a quick little 30-second diversion, and so I can get on my soapbox here.
Yeah.
manipulation is a part of everyday life.
Exactly.
You know, I've had women say to me when I've gone and spoken in front of women about some of my techniques, oh, you know, why can't you just be natural? Why can't you be yourself? Why do you need to technique people? I'm like, all right, so you think that, and I would respond to them. I'd say, you think that people should just be the way that they were, that God invented them, right? And she'd say, yeah. I'd say, okay, did God invent the push-up bra?
Exactly.
Did you come out of your mother's stomach with lipstick on and eyeshadow? I mean, aren't you manipulating the world to see you a certain way? Exactly. Manipulation is morally neutral. You know, everything is manipulation. Moving, like I have a bottle of vitamins here. If I move it from one end of my desk to the other end of the desk, that's manipulation.
Exactly. Or even getting a city permit. Like, they're on the same levels. People put rules into place because it makes things happen easier. And it makes that there's a natural progression. It just makes it more streamlined. But basically all that we're doing is it's people saying, you know what, this worked for me. If you want to try it, you can try it too. And maybe you'll learn something from it and create your own version of what I'm trying to teach you.
And
I appreciate that. That was actually a really great way of expressing it.
Thank you.
But yeah, so why don't you tell people how to get in touch with you and how to find out more about you?
Sure. Well, the best place to find me would be to come to my main website, which is getmoregirlfriends.com. And actually, I want to give your readers something for free. This is something I haven't made yet, but I will sometime this weekend.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect addition to the technique I gave you for getting a woman's, you know, top, getting a woman's clothing off, which is positioned before submission. There's a second part to that technique that if you do it, a woman will actually help you get her clothes off. She'll be so excited that she will make it so easy for you to undress her. You will never again run into what a lot of these pickup artists run into, which is last minute resistance.
Interesting.
So if you, in fact, go to, instead of going to Get More Girlfriends, go to getmoregirlfriends.com/winggirls. And remember, there's two G's in there, WINGGIRLS. And I'll put up a special page where you can watch this video. I don't know when you're going to distribute this interview, but
yeah, probably very soon.
Okay. So the video should be ready in a couple days.
Okay. I like that. Thank you.
Cool. And, you know, make sure you opt in order to get the video.
I know. I'm horrible at that. I'll change my terminology. Well, thank you so much for talking to us. I think that, everything we talked about will be really helpful for a lot of my users. And it should be really helpful. Information is always appreciated, and you can learn something from every conversation that you have or every audio that you listen to. So I think that this one definitely had a lot of fantastic information for people to enjoy.
Good. I'm glad it was helpful. Actually, I like to sign my things off with a PS, so I'm going to give you a little PS here with an extra technique. So this technique is immediately applicable. You can use this on your very next date and every date from now on. And what this is a much easier way to kiss a woman for the first time. And the way that I describe this, so have you ever used a bow and arrow, Marnie?
Actually, I have.
Okay. So then you know that it's much easier to hit the center of a target if you're standing, 5 feet away from it than it would be if you were standing 200 feet, away from it.
Yes, definitely.
In other words, it's a lot easier to hit your target when you're close to the target than it is when you're further away. So here's how this works in dating and getting physical. What a lot of guys do is they'll be sitting somewhere near the woman, maybe 2 or 3 feet away, or maybe he even has his arm around her. I don't know. But let's assume that his lips and her lips are 2 or 3 feet apart. What a lot of guys do is they pucker up and they lean in for that movie movement kiss. And what ends up happening, I think, is that the woman will, she has too much time to think about this, and she's going to go into her head and be like, oh my God, do I want to kiss this guy? Do I kiss guys on first date? What did my mom say about kissing guys on first date? Did my friend like this guy? They're going to go and have all this conversation in their head. What works a lot better if you want to go for the first kiss is to get your lips much closer to her lips before you go for it. So the way you may do that as an example, and you're going to have to visualize this if you're listening, would be you may start off in an embrace. You're like, you know what, get over here and give me a hug. Now you're in an embrace, you're much closer. And then you can kiss, the side of her neck. And then you can, play with her hair a little bit and kiss her on the forehead. Then you move down and maybe kiss her on her eyelid. Now you're only about 3 inches away from her lips. So going for the first kiss will seem much smoother and much more natural if you do it from this position, as opposed to leaning all the way over from like the driver's seat of your car with your lips all puckered, looking like a dumbass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the main lesson is don't start far away. Get yourself close to where you want to be first and then go for the first kiss.
Ooh, I like that. I definitely like that. And actually, while you were just talking, I thought of something else. Because we were talking before about finding people to practice on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was even thinking that you can actually practice on the woman that you're on a date with. About being better with touch and being more physical. And that can actually get them into a better mood about being sexual with you. By saying, I'm learning something new. Do you want to see?
Mm-hmm.
And show them the different types of touches that you've just learned from Jason. That's a way to, number one, practice and find out if something does feel good. And number two, to get a woman excited.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I'm going to add a little something to that. I used to study magic tricks. I used to learn magic because I thought it would be cool and it would get me girls. I actually figured out that you don't need to study magic in order to get girls.
Yeah.
But there's... I think it was Neil Strauss, the guy that wrote that book, The Game.
Yeah.
He said he came up with a concept that was just brilliant, and it was called rooting. And what rooting is you're giving a reason why you're showing something to somebody. So like if you walk over and say, "Hey, look, I pulled a quarter out of your ear." Now you're just the creepy guy walking around with a quarter pulling out of, you had that quarter ready and you're just going to use that magic trick on somebody.
Yeah.
It's weird. But instead, if you say, "You know what? My 7-year-old niece showed me the weirdest magic trick the other day, and she totally got me with it." Okay, now it's okay for you. You've given an acceptable reason.
Well now
same
it's justified.
Thing.
It's justification.
It's justified. So if you may say to her, "You know what? I saw this YouTube video the other day, or I read this article on the internet, and it talked about the three kinds of touch, and the three textures of touch, and they said." And then you ask her to hold out her arm and you say, here's the finger pad and here's the fingernail and here's the back of the fingers. And then you demonstrate it on her. Now it's much more socially acceptable as opposed to, "Hey, I learned this thing the other day
exactly.
and I want to show it to you."
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then you can even ask a woman to do it back to you. Just say like, I want to know how it feels because I want to know mm-hmm. what it is that I'm doing to you. And that just mm-hmm. also allows you to be comfortable. It's not a routine. It's not fake. It's really just research and practice. But if you say to a woman after, like, "Can you do that on me? I want to feel what you're feeling." That gets you guys to share in a moment.
Yep. Yeah. It's absolutely true. In fact, I just did something similar to that. Well, actually, last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had I have this woman that I'm seeing, and I had one of my favorite little fun toys, like one fun things to do with a woman, is I don't know if you remember years ago they had these Fukuyoku finger vibrator things that were popular.
Yes.
Well, I have a glove that has one on each finger. So if I turn the whole thing on, and all five of my fingers are now like humming and vibrating very strongly, and I just glide it all over her body, and she's like, "Oh my god, that's so amazing!"
Oh, wow.
And then she does it to me, and it's a lot of, it's very intimate, it's a lot of fun. You know, the glove is like probably $75 or something, but it was a good investment.
Yeah, definitely. It's the same as buying a Pictionary board game. You know, it's just something else that you enjoy that you want to share with somebody to have an experience together.
Well, it's not exactly the same as Pictionary.
Listen, I've played Pictionary. I just played it last night. It is very enjoyable. So it is very similar. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I think this will be really helpful to a lot of my users. And definitely, if you do want to get in touch with Jason, again, give that website.
Sure. Go to getmoregirlfriends.com/winggirls. And just remember, there's two G's in there, wing and then girls. And then I'll hook you up with a free video. I'm not going to try and sell you anything. This will demonstrate the technique that I use, I figured out on my own, that will have a woman practically rip her clothes off. She'll make it so easy for you to get her undressed that you will never again run into a problem of last minute resistance.
Like it. All right. Well, Jason, thank you so much. I enjoy talking with you.
You're welcome. It's been fun.